This is Judy Henshaw talking to John Taylor. He was born in Great Whitley and was in fact the last, it was his family that were the last family to live in the old toll house, which was on the corner of the Bromyard and Tenby Road.
Well, my earliest memories are, I can remember living there. Obviously, I was very, very young. And I remember just the odd traffic used to come up and down again, and there used to be a chap walk up and down with a bag trying to get money off people. But it didn't, as far as I can think, it didn't last for long. So I don't know what happened, whether it was just continuing an old tradition with the toll house, I don't know. But I can just vaguely remember that. And then I can remember leaving there, going up to the number 15 Great Whitley, which was a house that was built by the school for my father to move into, because they were. The local council decided that the toll house would have to come down. And so the school built that in another house, and my parents and I moved in there. And I can remember distinctly moving day, because we hired Billy Austin's milk coat and float. And so we piled all our stuff on the back of his milk float and up the lane and into the house. I remember that. I must have been very young, but I remember it was yesterday. We had some very happy childhoods in the area. Like, we seemed to be able to roam everywhere. And I can remember from the time we went to school, before we went to school, we used to roam everywhere. We didn't seem to have any restrictions of where we could go or what we could do. Or we thought so anyway. But we didn't seem to have any bother with anybody. So, and then I went to school at Whitley and with Brian, because I said we had the whole area to play in. And I can remember playing round Rutter's Farm. It used to be a sort of a second home, and on one occasion we were playing around there, and I'm stood next to the slurry pit, and next minute I'm in it. And John Fordy was stood by me, and I don't even know this day, did he do that or not? I can't quite remember. But anyway, not long after that, because I had a three-wheel bike, and we used to go down to play down in Whitley Court and around the area by the washpool. Mm-hmm. I had this three-wheel bike, and I was riding round and round and round. And at the front of the pool, there's a concrete small jetty. And I went round and round, stopped right at the jetty, time and time again. One time I went over, I didn't stop, I went straight over, bringing my three-wheel bike right down to the bottom. Unfortunately, Tony Owen was there, and he jumped, he was a good swimmer, and he jumped straight in after me, dragged me out, and then dived in and got my bike out. I can never forget that, because we used to go round the court where all the fountains are now, and I used to ride my three-wheel bike round inside of the fountains. So there's no water, it was all out of use. And then we used to go from the fountain and go down into the tunnel underneath. And one tunnel would go underneath the Whitley Court, and right on the other side to where the Dr. Goodwin's, it all caved in, so you couldn't go underneath it. And then you could go from the other side, get into the fountain, and go all the way towards Martley. It used to go to be a court. I can't think what it was called now, but we used to go fair distance under these tunnels. And that was a happy memories of Whitley Court. And I can remember a bit later, when my father decided he wanted to build a greenhouse, we got the bricks from Whitley Court. I don't know how we got the permission anyway, but we grabbed this wheelbarrow and wheeled it all the way down to Whitley Court, and they put all these bricks in. And anyway, we built this greenhouse. And during the war, he couldn't get any tobacco, so he started growing tobacco. He went to get these tobacco seeds from somewhere. He grew everywhere in the house. It was just tobacco leaves everywhere. And I used to have to cycle down to Interstate Airport to get saltpeter from Bufton's, the ironmongers in the Bridge Street. And so I could all the way back up the hill. And I remember once thinking to myself, I'm driving up towards where Brian used to live, up Dick Brook, and I'm thinking, if this is what smoking does, I'm never going to smoke. Never. I was only a little lad at the time. And anyway, that was another instance that I quite often think about. Was when we were playing in the woods, it was myself, John, maybe Brian, and his brother David. And we used to have run-ins with the lads from the school. And I can remember one occasion we had quite a... But they weren't really bad run-ins. They used to shout at us, and we used to shout at them. And I can remember we had a bit of a bust-up one day. Anyway, a couple of days later, a knock came at my back door. Knock, knock. My mother opened the door, and PC Wallace stood there. Can I speak to young John? So I asked, what do you want to PC Bonnet? He said, what do you know about this? And in his hand, he got an arrow about that long with a coil of rope and a wire run down it and a quite a nasty little looking tip at point. And he said, what do you know about this? I said, oh, I don't know anything about that. Are you sure? He said. I said, I don't know anything about that. If I haven't seen it before, never seen it before in my life. Lying through my teeth because I knew it was John E40s. Anyway, that incident passed and we got away with it. And we were told not to get too confrontation with the boys from Abbey Hall School. I don't think we take much notice because we did have various run-ins from now and again. And I can also remember another occasion. We were getting on a little bit towards our teens and the rector called him to talk us about the birds and the bees. So we had to stand outside the rectory, all the members queuing up. And he called us in one at a time. Of course, we all knew more about the birds and the bees than he did. And it wasn't long after that. Unfortunately, dear Sid, we called him Sid. And he was married to one of the Brintons, from the carpet people's daughters. And he got in a bit of financial trouble and he helped himself to the money out of the collecting box. And anyway, unfortunately, it got too much for him and he went and gassed himself in his car on Brinksty Common. And that was quite an issue at the time, but it was all sort of kept down a little bit. Going back to 1947, when we had that very, very, very cold winter and lots of snow, we used to go onto the ink pot, sort of skate on it and run across it, and it was frozen solid. And it used to creak and crack sometimes, but we were very lucky to get away, but it was very, very cold in 1947. And with the snow went all from Aberley, where the old school is, right across where the old brickyard used to be, and it was solid, and it was about 21 feet of snow. And you couldn't get into Aberley, into Penzax at all, because it took ages. And there were still prisoners of war about there. It was still helped to clear the snow. And subsequently, all that snow melted, and it caused a landslide on Aberley Hill, just on the other side of Wynyard's Way. You go up to the top, and you go over the top, and there's all that area, it all started to move, and it went right the way down. It was on the news in the papers, and they were terrified. It was all going into the village, making the way towards the blacksmith shop, a forge that used to be there. But it didn't. It managed to stop about halfway down the hill, but it shifted an awful lot. The trees were moving. My father, who was the engineer at Abbey Hall, because that's where the water used to come from, the reservoir there, and he moved all the pipes, burst all the pipes, the main pipe down to the school in the Elms, the hotel in Aberley. It all broken, it all moved away, and we had water for ages and ages. Anyway, they managed to fix it eventually with new piping, and it was quite an exciting time. I was up as a young boy watching all this, all slowly, literally going like that. You could see it just going down like that. The huge trees just going straight over like that, and all that was caused by all the heavy snow that we'd had, and it melted, and it's quite something that was. Yeah, when we were young boys, we always had guns and knives. I don't know what people would think of us now, I'm sure, but I had a .40 and an air rifle and a dagger, and Brian had a dagger, and John had a dagger, and both had air rifles. We used to go shooting rabbits all over the place. But I can remember one instance, and then he shot somebody, and it was John Forty's fault. We were in the sand. We used to call it the sand pit. It used to be the back of their house. And at the bottom of where this bungalow is just here, there was telephone exchange. But just about the bottom here. And the door was open, and we were up here at the sand pit. And Johnny got a BSA rifle, air rifle. And he's looking down, and the door's open. And he said to me, I bet you can't hit the middle of that notice on that door. I said, of course I can hit the middle of it. So pulled the trigger, just after I pulled the trigger, a head appeared. The bloke just walked straight out. How I missed him, I will never know. But the pellet hit the centre of the target. I said, I told you I could hit it. Oh, I often think of that. Yeah, another time I can bring to mind is we were outside the 100 house, and on to the right-hand side they got some buildings. They used to be stables, but they got all glass windows. Whatever possessed us to it, I don't know, but we all took turns in breaking these windows. With all our catapults, obviously somebody said we must have been stupid. And that caused more repercussions, and my pocket money was stopped for quite some time. and we did quite a bit of damage, apparently, more than we thought. So that's another memory that brings me back. And also, I can remember the Elsie Paris was the licensee at the time, or maybe just before, and she had some Pekingese dogs. And I'd taken my dog for a walk. Well, I was with my father at the time. We're taking him down the road. We're going somewhere, I can't remember where. And these dogs used to come charging out, yap, 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 yap. And we had a little fox terrier, and he grabbed hold of this one, bit his eye, and that was the end of his eye. And that didn't go down there with Elsie Parrish. She come out storming, blah, 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 shouting. Anyway, he'd all calm down eventually. But that never seems to stop the little Pekingese, because every time he went by, he'd still come charging out, yap, 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 yap. And anyway, we sorted it all out. Everybody was friends afterwards. Another memory I have is where I used to live when I was very at the roundhouse in Great Bickley. When it had been demolished, and a few years later, we used to stand on that area, on that, and watch all the, for want of a better phrase, I call them gypsies, but they weren't gypsies, but they used to come along in gypsy caravans and horses, and they were all people from the Black Country, and they'd drive all the way from Dudley, Netherton and Cradle Heath, all that way, and come all this way, and then past the 100 house, and go up Stanford Hill, down the other side into Shelsley, because they used to do the hop picking there. And they used to be really colourful. There used to be caravan after caravan after caravan. Dozens and dozens of people came in. We used to go out and watch them sometimes. And they used to live in accommodation blocks that were built on the farm where they used to go picking the hops. And it was quite a sight, that was. I could never forget that.